We support our local team and our local brewery, Phantom Brewery, and they've decided to support us back and you guys by offering a 10% off code EPR10 when used on their website, phantombrew.com, will get you 10% off anything you order this season. That code again, EPR10.
Lafondra looking to get Constantine to Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome back to the Elm Park Rules Preview Podcast. I'm joined now by Barry Worthington, who is producer and editor of the PWU podcast and blog. Do you want to tell the good folks at home, Barry, what PWU stands for?
Yeah, it's Progress with Unity. It's the town's motto. So that's where we've plucked that title from. It was hunting for many. Took us about a week and a half to decide on, to go with that one. But we thought it was rather apt, you know, Progress with Unity, and that's what we want.
Yeah, fortunately, the naming process was taken entirely out of my hands for the Elm Park Royals podcast. That was very much Paul Mann that had ownership of that. I'm just a hanger-on that does like the midweek stuff. So, and on the subject of midweek stuff, Reading, of course, off the back of probably one of our worst losses of the season last night to Sunderland, Barry. We were there. In a rare turn of events for me, I was in one of the hospitality boxes and it was all very novel, but the football was dire. Meanwhile, Wigan have just had a very good 3 points on the road this week. Do you want to tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it was... well, first of all, I've got to mention that our away form is second to none. You know, we're built for away days. Our own form isn't as good. We got promoted last season on the strength of our away form. So we've carried out, continued this season in the same vein. I think we're the only side in the Championship with three away victories. And also, that tells you as well, we've had three wins this season. They've all come on the road. So it was no surprise, really, when we went to Huddersfield. They were going through a bit of a rough patch themselves, aren't they? You know, stuck at the bottom, 4 points from eight games. And what we tend to do is soak up at the beginning, soak up and just come on strong in the second half. But for this particular game, Liam Richardson had shuffled the pack a little bit and surprised all the Lassie supporters. And we had a more offensive lineup. And first half, I think realistically, we could have been two goals up. We had the penalty came and it was a penalty that we nailed on. Will Keane dispatched it with aplomb like he does. He's a superb penalty taker. And with a couple of other chances as well. Second half, 5 minutes into the half, we hit the post with a header from Jack Watmore, centre-half from a corner. And we scored quite a few goals from set pieces. Unmarked, and he should have buried that, to be honest with you. And then we seemed to sit back slightly and allow Huddersfield to press us a little bit. And they came into the game, Jordan Rhodes came on. And then there was a bit of a strange incident where I think they'd had a corner and Tom Lees had gone down in the box holding his head. But the referee allowed play on. And it sort of went back out to the right-hand side. They knocked it around a little bit. So it went on for about a minute, this. And then I don't know where it was over on the right, but he knocked the ball into the centre. Our keeper, Rose, and took it cleanly. And then the referee blew his whistle and brought treatment on for Tom Lees. And we all thought we were going to start with a drop ball for the keeper, but he didn't. He went back out to the right-hand side and give the drop ball to Huddersfield. So all they did then was knock the ball back in the box. It came back out. They knocked it back in again. In that little moment, Tom Lees had been brought back on the pitch and a loose ball bobbled about and he stuck it in the back of the net. So we were thinking, we've been undone here by what I consider to be a poor refereeing decision. Yeah. And the referee that night was Jeremy Simpson, who we've never won an away game whilst he's been refereeing. So
that tells you all you need to know then.
Yeah, I thought, here we go. And just prior to that, Callum Wang had been cleaned out in the box and he got booked for diving. And it wasn't a dive. He got cleaned out and it should have been penalty number two, but I think he bottled it a little bit. But we just went back on the offensive again. We took the game by the scruff of the neck. I know Rhodes hit the bar with a bit of a rasping shot, but I think that was as close as they came. They're very poor Huddersfield. They missed They missed a couple of gilt-edged chances. And we scored on 82 minutes. Callum Lang put the ball in the back of the net. Lee Nichols, our ex-goalkeeper, he come through the ranks at Wigan Athletic.
Of course, yeah.
Did us a favour. He was awful on the night, to be honest with you. I know he's been highly rated last year. There's nobody more surprised than Wigan Athletic fans to see that Lee Nichols was in the Championship team of the season last season, because he isn't a good goalkeeper. He's all right, but he's more of a number two than a first choice. So, but on Tuesday he lived up to expectations, and his positioning was terrible for the goal. So anyway, we take it, and 2-1. So we march on. They sack Danny Schofield in the morning, and we pat our manager on the back. So
it's always a really satisfying feeling when it's your result that means that the other manager's given a heave-ho. It feels like, you're judge, jury and executioner. It's always a nice feeling. Reading have done that a few times over the years. And the less said about Championship refs, the better, because I suppose one thing you haven't missed about being in the Championship, Barry, is the standard of officiating in this division. Because already this season, like in the 9 games that Reading have played, there's been a right catalogue of things where you think, okay, something needs to be said about the refs here. But it's funny you mentioned...
You want to try League One refs if you think Championship refs are bad.
Well, honestly, we flirted with the drop a couple of times, and maybe we'll get our taste of it sooner rather than later. But you mentioned about your away form and how that is so much better than your home form. I mean, it's in stark contrast to Reading's, where Reading have failed to score and have lost 5 of their last 6 away matches. So the portents aren't good on our end. But equally, I mean, as far as Wigan are concerned, you've only lost the 1 game this season. And if you look at all 3 of the promoted sides from League One, by the time we play you guys, we'll have played all 3 of them now, because we're playing you at the weekend. We lost in spectacular fashion to Sunderland last night, 3-0. Lost 4-0 to Rotherham early doors in the season. So, you're all acquitting yourselves really well. And I suppose with you guys being at the 11th in the division at time of recording, I mean, it's the dream start, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Starts of the season, the anomaly is usually at least 2 of the teams that come up go back down again in this division. And I thought that that it wouldn't happen this season, because I know we're strong, I know Rotherham are strong, and Sunderland have got a little bit of financial muscle as well. So, and they've got some good players. I mean, we had a bit of rivalry with them last season, but if truth be told, they've got a good squad there. So I thought the team struggling, I'm not saying we wouldn't be down at the bottom end, but I didn't think that any of us three would go down, and I picked out Birmingham, yourselves, and Hull City were my 3 picks for relegation. And that was basically just on last season's form and things that were happening in and around the clubs. And so I've not seen anything yet to change my mind. I know you've lost Everly. You've lost Everly at times. So have we. But we've only lost one. We lost 5-1 to West Brom. But that was a bit of a fluke game, that. But you've lost. You've took 3 pastings. That would worry me if we were getting done. I don't know if it shows a lack of fight in the team or.
That's exactly what the manager Paul Ince was saying last night. Is when we lose badly, and it's kind of reminiscent of how we were the season we came 3rd under Bjarne Stam. Because even though, gosh, we're not thinking about playoffs this time round, even though we're somehow 4th in the table after 9 games, but when we lose, we lose by 2, 3, 4 goals. And Paul Ince came out after the game and said, he's been worried about application on the training ground. And you could see his son, Tommins, yelling at the players for not doing enough running last night. So I think you're right, Barry. I think, that is probably a good diagnosis in that, it's funny. It's a lot. We're such a Jekyll and Hyde team. We will beat teams we're not expected to beat, and then we'll roll over against them. I mean, Sunderland, to their credit, scored their 3rd goal in particular, is fantastic. But, it would worry me going into Wigan at the weekend knowing that we need a reaction. And with you guys being in such handy form yourselves, winning 3 of your last 5. And, you've got players on paper as well who can make the difference. I mean, Will Keane's got 3 goals already this season. I know that the likes of, James McLean's still knocking around, isn't he? How's he been this season?
Oh, brilliant. I mean, he's he's a bit of an hero at Wigan Athletic. I know he gets a bit of abuse around the country for stuff we're not going to, but I mean it's just a thing to whip an opposition player with, hopefully. You know, that's hopefully all it is, because the stuff that gets thrown at him is, you know, it's not right. But he gives 100%. It's his second stint with us. When we was in administration, he was a Stoke City player at the time. He put £5,000 into the club fund. I mean, you can't ask for more than that, can you? You know, that was a fantastic gesture. Mm-hmm. Nobody had gone to him and asked for money. He just donated it himself. He plays with his arse on his sleeve. He set up the winning goal on Tuesday night for Callum Lang. He's an aggressive player. He never shirks a challenge. If the crowd get on his back, he reacts to it and he plays better. You know, so when the opposition give him stick, it works in our favour. Mm. James McLean is James McLean. You know exactly what you're going to get off him. You know what he's going to do on Saturday. We know what he's going to do on Saturday. And he's got, you don't get 88 international caps if you're not a good player. So I think that speaks volumes in itself. Yeah, but we're definitely not a one-man team. He's part of the unit. His style, the way he commits to the team is typical of all the other players. Where you were talking about not a lot of fighting in your side in Reading, it's quite the opposite in Wigan Athletic. We battle for each other, not to win the games, but they battle for each other. They're like a group of real mates, not just like a teammates, but they are. You can tell there's a bond between them all, and it did as well last season to get us the championship. When we won the title, and again this season, and we went down to 10 men after 10 minutes at Birmingham City and dictated the game after that and won 1-0, you know. But it was that ethos in the team that saw us through, and James McLean typifies that. But we've got players throughout who are exactly the same. Max Power, 100, you know, 100% every game. Max Power, Curtis Tilt. I mean, at times he thinks he's Franz Beckenbauer, but, you know, Curtis Tilt is like this awkward, lumbersome defender who defends like his life depends upon it. Yeah. And then sometimes he wants to play the ball a bit and everybody's like, Curtis, get the ball up the pitch, just, you know, get rid of it. But he typifies again that spirit in the team. And then we've got Josh McGinnis probably playing up front, same again, puts 100% in. Charlie Wax just come back after... Everybody knows what happened to him last year with a cardiac arrest, and he's got his defib fitted under his skin, you know. So I think that shows to come and play professional football, to continue playing with that, it takes a big character to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it runs through the team, and it's great to see. And it's what all fans want. You want to see your players willing to sweat for your team, don't you, and give their all. And that's exactly what they do.
Yeah, you've got players that I think most Reading fans would be jealous of. I mean, I know I remember seeing Curtis Till. I think he was at Blackpool at the time, but I remember being really impressed with him when they played against us in the Cup 1 year. And another name that immediately springs out for me is, you've mentioned him very briefly, but Jack Watmore is, you know, 26, just a real rock. And, you know, it plays that. I mean, even though Reading have got strength in depth at the moment as far as, you know, centre defenders are concerned, like last night we were really shown up in that a couple of them who were academy lads, the likes of Tom McIntyre and Rob Holmes, their inexperience kind of showed a little last night. But I mean, with a player like Jack Watmore, I mean, even though he's still young, you know, so good in the air and, you know, real stabilizing presence. I think
one of his greatest qualities is his ability to read the game. If you Like, I know you're probably not old enough to remember Bobby Moore, but you must have, you know, read all the plaudits about him. And that's exactly how Moore played. And he plays in that style where he reads the game. He very rarely gets caught having to make last-ditch challenges. He's strong in the air, like you said. And he can play the ball out with both feet as well. So he's calm on the ball. He's assured. You know, he doesn't look like a rugged centre half. He looks like a bit of class, you know, and he conducts himself that way. And yeah, he is. You know, we're very fortunate to get him. We got him on a free transfer, and it's just unbelievable that, you know, the reason he left Portsmouth was because they wouldn't offer him the wage he was on the previous season. Yeah. You know, they cut in his wage, and it's just unbelievable. By far and away, the best centre half in League One last season, and he started this season, you know, in the same vein of form.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the best signings are ones you pick up on a free that are inexplicably let go. It's similar for us with our captain at the moment, Andy Yeardham. Didn't have a great game last night, but picking him up on a free from Barnsley has been an ever-present for us for about the last 5, 6 years. So that's how it goes sometimes. I just want to, you're saying about the form you've taken into this division after being promoted and you find yourself in the top half of the table. If you were to win your game in hand, of course, from that game you had cancelled against Coventry, less said about that, the better, and their moon crazy for a pitch, you would find yourself third, unbelievably. So all of this is to say, I guess, what are your expectations from this point on? Is survival still the aim, or do you reckon you can do a bit better?
Survival's definitely the aim. That's the first priority, isn't it? I think for probably 50% of the clubs in the championship, survival is the number one. And once that's achieved, you can then reassess where you are in the table, and are you going to have a push for the playoffs? Realistically, I still think we'll. There's some quality sides in this division. We know that, and realistically, I still think we're going to finish lower mid table. If you look at our results, we don't batter anybody. You look last season. I mean, the only team we really battered was Bolton, and we love doing that, because Bolton are Bolton, and everybody loves battering Bolton. So that was fantastic. But apart from that, we didn't really, go to town on anybody, and we tend to win by the odd goal at the most, two, and that's where we're very, very tight. But the trouble with just being one goal in front, as you've seen with our draws so far, you can end up not winning because you're playing tight games. Like I said, on Tuesday was a bit of a difference in the fact that it was a lot more offensive than what we've been this so far this season. But I still think we're playing on the cautious side, and I can see as my pre-season prediction was between 18th and 14th, so I went 16th, and I still think that's where we're going to finish up, and I'll be delighted with that because then that gives us the building blocks for next season, and we can, push on. It's a bit like Luton when they first got promoted. If you remember, they came up
Yeah.
and they cheated around in the relegation spots, and then the second season they pushed on, didn't they? And unfortunately, this season they've not been doing as well for. But that's the sort of aim I think for us. I mean, if we do have a run and get into the playoffs, brilliant. That's brilliant. But I can't see it personally.
It's an unpredictable league, and I know it's a cliche that gets bandied around every year. The way, they will say, "Oh, the championships, a league where anyone can beat everyone." But I think more so than ever this year, the strength of the three promoted teams has made things really interesting. And even though, like you say, a couple might still drop off, and might more be more about consolidation, it's just made for like a fascinating league on paper. And by the time we play you at our place later in the year, it'll be interesting to see where we've settled by then, because the league table's still forming. But in regards to the weekends, when we've got to make the trek up north, I've got some memories over the years of being pasted at Wigan. I think at my first away day at Wigan, I think we got beaten 3-0, and that was around sort of, oh, I don't know, like 2014, 15-ish. But back to the present day, how are you expecting it to go down, Barry, in terms of a score prediction? Because Reading are looking for a response. We really need one after being battered 3-0 last night. You're hopefully, from your perspective, not looking for your second loss of the season. I mean, how do you reckon it's going to go?
You mentioned the coming up and you was doing you 3-0. I remember George Puskas the last time we played at the DW Stadium.
It was a
And
7 minute hat trick or something daft like that. And,
it was like between the 78th and 82nd minute in
yeah,
back
sorry
three.
about that. You'll be glad to hear that he's gone now. He's in Italy at the time of recording, so
I believe so, So you can never tell, can you? I mean, I think I hate playing teams on the on after they've taken a bit of a beating. I hate playing teams because even though he said there's no fighting and no character in the squad, that's when they do stand up, isn't it? I mean, we've got battered 9-1 at Spurs one season, and the next game we played Sunderland and beat them 1-0 because that was the response that we had to give. And it was the same when, after the West Brom game, sorry, the Burnley game when we got battered. The next game was totally different, and we were very strong in that. So I don't know. I mean, I've listened to the Reading supporters on your podcast particularly, and it's like all doom and gloom, and you, sometimes you get lulled into this false sense of security. I mean, I'm looking at the tables, and you're up there. You know, you're not up there because you're poor, but then again, those three games where you took good hidings, that again gives me the feeling you might have a soft centre. You know, and if we can get at that. But like I said, our own form isn't the best. It wasn't the best last season. But I do think we need that first home win. And I think for myself, I think this is a great chance for us to get it. That's all I'll say. It's a great chance. But I don't think it's going to be a walkover. Don't think it's going to be a walk in the park. And I'd go for another 2-1 for us, because that's the type of scoreline that we keep producing. So I think we'll do your 2-1. Probably go 2-0 up and you'll score a goal. And later on, for a consolation, put us under a bit of pressure, but we'll all wait. So that's why I'm going for 2-1, Wigan Athletic.
I think that's probably quite savvy, because like you say, fine margins looking at your results. There's only really like one goal in it a lot of times. I think as well, the first goal is going to be really important, because when Reading go ahead in games, I know, you know, you're saying about having the soft underbelly, and I think to an extent that's probably true, but the type of player that Paul Ince has managed to bring in this season, if we get our nose in front, we're big and disciplined enough at times to see it out, which is something we've not done in previous seasons. So I reckon I can see Reading either sneaking it 1-0 or being pegged back to a workmanlike 1-1 draw, which I think we'd take. I think we'd take a point on the road, because like we've said, our away record's not great so far this season. So, but that's what I'm saying. I'm going to be a miser and say 1-1, but you'll be glad to hear I've not got one of these right yet this season. So, Barry, all that's left to do then is to thank you so much for coming on this Elm Park Roars preview podcast. It's been a pleasure having you. And if any Reading fans out there want their Wigan Athletic fix, you know, peek over the fence, see how the neighbours are doing. I say neighbours, they're, you know, a bit, they're not really in our neck of the woods there. But please give Barry and everyone a follow on Twitter. Where can they find you on Twitter, Barry?
Well, I'm at Worthington Baz, but the podcast is at PWU Podcast. You mentioned neighbours there about us and Reading. When we first got elected into the Football League in 1978, you were the third league game. So you were there right at the start. You beat us 2-0 at Elm Park. But we did you in the return fixture was in November. So it was pretty sharpish on the back of that. But we won that one. So that was all right. And also, when we got promoted to the Premier League for the first time, we sealed promotion with a 3-1 home victory over Reading, who was chasing the playoffs. But you did follow us up the season after, didn't you?
Yeah.
With Steve Coppell in charge.
Indeed, yeah.
And I think you're fourth on our all-time list of teams that we've played. So
wow.
We have played quite a lot over the years. I think we've followed each other up and down the league. So there is a little bit of closeness, shall we say, between the two clubs.
There's more of a shared history than I thought. So, yeah, there you go. Every day's still there.
You got the new stadium, we got the new stadium, you know. You got a wealthy owner, so did we. I remember Kerry Dixon coming up when he was manager. He managed it, didn't he? Back in the
early
80s, he came up to Springfield Park, and I think we gave you a tonking that day, and he looked very... Did he start his career off with Reading? I think he did, didn't he?
You may well have done. It was a little bit before my time, but I'm embarrassed to say. But
yeah. So there is a little bit of connection between us. So and of course you had Jason Roberts.
Oh yeah, the big bad wolf. Love Jason Roberts. What a man.
Yeah, well he scored the second goal in that game at the DW where we got promoted, and he had a broken leg at the time which nobody knew about. He had a stress fracture of his leg.
That sounds like a Jason Roberts thing to do, because when we went up to the Premier League, you know, in part due to his goals that he scored from January onwards, we rewarded him with a new contract, and then we didn't see him again for like 2 years. So, but he's off doing bigger and better things now, his old Jason Roberts. Yeah. So there's plenty of shared history and another chapter to be written on the weekend. So thank you to Barry and the gang. Come on, you arse. Thank you for listening again to the Elm Park Roars preview podcast. And thank you to Phantom Brewing Co. in Reading for sponsoring this episode. We'll see you next week for more stuff like this. So stay tuned. See you later.